We hope you enjoy the following presentation of The Value of Astrology in the Consciousness Movement, Part 2 by Dane Rudyar. This recording is 30 minutes long. This audio is brought to you by RITA, the Rudyar Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudyar. All material is copyrighted by Leila Rudyar Hill. If you'd like to learn more about RITA, or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyar, visit www.rudyarinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyar, visit www.rudyaraudioarchives.com. And now, Dane Rudyar.
Well, if you don't, then there will be still more unfinished business in the next cycle, and then you still repeat the whole process again. And if you, the more you wait, the more difficult it will be, because the momentum of the causes will have accelerated, become deeper and deeper, and therefore perhaps when you reach a very high state of consciousness development and ready to take some big step in your evolution as a spiritual being, then you suddenly will face that terrific amount of unfinished business, which has been symbolized by the dweller on the threshold, which can be apparently a very ghastly experience of terrific presence, of terrifying presence, awesome confrontation, which sometimes make people get mad and so on. So, what the humanistic approach to astrology was, try to find out how best to fulfill your karma so that you can also, by the same process, do what you are born for, which is the fulfillment of your dharma. Now, how does astrology do that? Well, it does it in such a way to show you what is the best way to use the energies of your being. Now, in itself, the energies of your nature are the planets, essentially. They are the activity aspect. They are the things which represent the different function which you have to use in order to be a living organism. Those functions exist at a biological level. They exist at a psychic level, psychological, psychic level, at a mental level, and so on. But they are functional. There are different aspects of that whole entity, that field of activity and consciousness, which you call yourself. Mr. So-and-so was, or Mrs. So-and-so, who was born on a particular day, or in a particular place, in a particular family and nation, and so on. You see, that is your personality, that is you as a person who are born and going to die. Now, astrology does deal with nothing but that. The idea that astrology deals with a mysterious transcendent soul, to my mind, makes no sense at all. Because you are not born as a soul. If you mean by soul a transcendent immortal entity, it is not born at that time. But what astrology tells you is that anything starting at a certain time, at a certain place, has certain definite characteristic because it represents the whole universe focused at that particular place and time. The universe need something to happen at that particular time and place. And that something that happened is you. You see. That's nothing else. You are nothing else but that, essentially, at first. You may develop something else. You may connect yourself with some higher level consciousness, but that deals with a greater whole, with something which is beyond yourself, which probably has to do with humanity as a whole or the planet as a whole. But when you say, I am this and this, you are not saying the soul mysterious some place there. You are talking about you, your concrete you, perhaps very nice, you, and very high motivated and so on, but it still is that you was born at a certain time and will die at another time and pass through a variety of experience in that particular physical organism, physical and mental and emotional organisms. Now, what humanistic astrology tells you is that those planets, those functions, which at the biological level are the function of metabolism, the function of blood circulation, assimilation, expansion, sex reproductions, aggressiveness in the sense of expanding against other things. All those basic functions of a living organism have their correlations at the psychological level. And all those things are definitely connected with your planet. And the extraordinary thing, which very few astrologers really understand, is that the extraordinary thing about astrology is that it tells you that you can reduce all those activities, all those functions of your being, you can reduce them to 10 basic categories, 10 planets. Everything fits into one of those categories. You see. Now, where and when are those categories, those functions, to be best used? When are they going to come to a climactic period of achievement? When will they be repressed and all that? All that can be told by an astrologer to some extent, in a broad sense of the term. It has nothing to do with event as such. Of course, there will have to be event in order to be active. That will mean that something will happen. But astrology doesn't deal with the thing that will happen, because the same crisis, let us say, in 10 different people born exactly with the same chart will take entirely different, relate with entirely different events. You see. They may have the same meaning, essentially, in the development of that person, but the events may be very different, and the events don't matter. The only thing that matters is that when you are faced with a process, a crisis particularly, or a process of development and achievements and all that, that you will know, to some extent, at least in a general sense, where you can find the best optimum environment or situation to have that function operate in. If Mars is in your sixth house, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be ill or that you are going to have to serve in the military or all sorts of things associated with the sixth house. What it means is that that is the best way in which Mars can operate in your life. Now, it may mean that you are going to be ill. Well, then it is the best way for you to fulfill your karma and your dharma is to be ill. And you will fulfill it through that illness. And it is absolutely foolish and no use whatsoever to try to escape from it. But instead of being down-spirited because you are ill or because you have this or that difficult experience, you can just say, well, that is a way through which I can achieve certain results and fulfill karma or my karma, or sometimes it may be group karma, and there are all sorts of things that can happen at a certain level of consciousness. But if it is Jupiter is another house, that is the best type of circumstance or experience, because the houses deal with 12 basic categories of experience. It is through that kind of experience that I can best fulfill that Jupiter function or that Saturn function or that Venus function or Sun function and so on. And if you have, then as all those functions are related to each other, then the aspects between two planets tell you kind of relationship between those two functions is the best type of relationship through which you can achieve, actualize your potential. If it is the square of, Mars and Saturn, well, it may mean that you have to break through very definite kind of obstruction which you have built in the past. So to try to run away from that square is perfectly senseless. You have to meet it and face it and welcome it. So that the chart is not something that is happened to you. It is you. It is you, that incarnate you, that body that is born there, which has certain karma to fulfill and has a certain destiny to fulfill. And the chart tells you how you can best do it, or optimum condition on which you can do it. So that you are not frightened because certain things happen. You are not trying to run away from certain things that happen, which we all do most beautifully when we have a crisis. We have a remarkable way of eluding them and turning around them and try to postpone the confrontation. Well, you can postpone it later in life. You can postpone it in a later life. But you still will have to face it. And the more you postpone it, the worse it becomes. So, that is, of course, the foundation of the kind of humanistic astrology that I have been promoting for many years. But you see, unless you realize that there is nothing bad in a chart, that there is no chart better than any other chart, that it is the chart for you, and any other chart for you would be bad because it wouldn't be you, you see. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells to Arjuna, there is nothing worse than to try to take the dharma of another person. If you are born a warrior, in this case, you have to fight, and if you try to be a priest when you are faced by the fight because you find it too difficult, well, you are messing your whole life. But, of course, I'm not saying that you have to have a caste system in the present time. But you are your own caste, you see. You have to fulfill your caste. You have to fulfill the dharma of that particular caste, which is yourself. Now, the next step from that, you see, is that what I call transpersonal astrology, which is to some extent the same thing, except it focuses on one particular basic aspect, which is how to make the best possible use of crisis. You can only grow through a crisis, because everything which has been built in your consciousness from the time you are born has inertia, has resistance to change. And when the time has come for you to change it, opportunity has come to develop at another level or in another way, then the inertia of that past is very inert and block any possibility of change. Unless something in you have tuned in, as it were, enough, something in you is open to the planetary power of that karmic or dharmic pattern, which is your birth chart, that you are compelled to face some issue. And if you don't do it consciously, then physical event will force you to do it. The point is, again, how can you do it under the best possible condition? And there you have the whole story, which I can go in detail because I see my time is almost over, of what I call transpersonal astrology, which deal with particularly with the action of Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. I would, those who are interested in it particularly, I would suggest that you read a book called The Sun is Also a Star, the galactic dimension of astrology, and a little book, small booklet from humanistic to transpersonal astrology. The whole point there is that the solar system is really divided into two sections altogether, from the Sun to Saturn and beyond Saturn. Now what I state in that book, the Sun is also a star, is that you can look at the Sun from two different points of view. It is the Sun of your of a solar system. It is the great autocrat of the system. It is the great ego or the great self of that system. It provides all the energy to it, for it. It controls all its motions and so on. It is the great, the king, the divine king of that particular system. And all human being and all whatever is in the planet bows before it in great worship and reverence, because it gets its power, everybody gets its power from there and its life from there. He owns everything, just like in the old idea of king by divine right in Europe, the king owned all the land of the country. And he allowed some of his subjects to use some of that land for production, of which he could eat a new deal of taxes. Well, but the sun is not only a sun. We know now that it is a very small star within a large unit called the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, which contain billions of such little stars, some of which undoubtedly have planetary system around them. And so that this sun is also a star within the greater whole of the galaxy. And the real solar system proper is between the sun, which is the center, and Saturn, which marks the circumference of the system. Saturn, the lord of boundary, the lord of limitations, symbol of anything which defines something, but which also give it form. You cannot have life, you cannot have consciousness unless you have form, thus limit and definition. So everything which has form and definition, and which is a definite field of activity, having a definite structure and so on, is symbolized by the solar system from the Sun to Saturn. But because that solar system from Sun to Saturn is part of the galaxy, it has what you might call an aura. You know, we're all surrounded with a kind of magnetic field, which is the place of contact between our little organism, limited by our skin, and the larger planetary organism, the biosphere in which we are all living and of which we are all part. So there is also an aura, as it were, around the solar system, which mark the relation, which is the field in which the relationship between the solar system proper, from Sun to Saturn, and the galaxy as a whole operate. So at one time I spoke of Uranus, Neptune and Pluto as ambassadors of the galaxy. They are to some extent subject to the pull of the Sun, like an ambassador is subject to the kind of life of the nation in which he's living, representing a higher or other kind of nation. But still he doesn't belong to it. So Uranus, Neptune and Pluto are in the solar system, but not of the solar system. They are the means for transformation of the little self into the larger self. They are the means of transformation between the little ego-centered I consciousness and that larger consciousness, which says I, but only in the sense that I is part of a we, is part of a larger frame of reference. And that is, of course, the whole point of a human life. Is that there is in every human life the possibility to become so basically and radically transformed that it can change the level at which its consciousness and its will and its power of activity is centered. You can shift from that center of the biological, social, cultural level in which you were born. You can shift from that realm to a higher realm, which I speak of symbolically at least as the planetary realm of consciousness and being. And being an individual is a transitory state, is a transition which enables you to go, to break away from the lesser realm of belonging, of your belongingness to the earth, to the culture, to your family, to everything which has made you and formed you at first. But you can break away from that, you can transfer your consciousness and your center of will and power and being from that realm to a higher realm, which is the realm of spiritually considered stars. Now, transpersonal astrology is the process by means of which you are able to get a better understanding of what is involved in that process when the big crisis will take place by the transits of Uranus, Neptune and Pluto over the planets, over the angles of the chart and so on and so forth. You see. So that it will help you, you see, to grow beyond that process of centering into down at that ego level. So that the question is not only, and that's why also some of the psychologists also realize that they have to build a transpersonal psychology rather than a strictly humanistic psychology, because they found out that the people who were involved in that humanistic psychology became so concerned with their self as they were now that they became enamored, completely involved in that what they were now, you see. But, and the transpersonal psychologist said, but there is all sorts of things beyond what you are now. We don't know anything much about it. And we won't take anything for granted because we are scientists, and therefore all what we can do is to try to see what is at the threshold of that realm above. And so they investigate medium, they investigate the parapsychological phase, ESP, and all those kind of things like that, to try to get an idea of what is maybe the step beyond. But the interesting thing is that, of course, also that in most cases that I have been connected with, and I have been closely connected with some of the early founders and in the Bay region in San Francisco, is that still, though they think they are transpersonal, they take a very personal approach to being transpersonal. So that they come together to be transpersonal, and in coming together, most of their problems are personal problems. Which, of course, is one way to some extent of going through those personal problems and perhaps out of, encounters kind of treatments, you know, where you are supposedly breaking your ego against ego, and you break them, and hopefully something will come out of it. Sometimes it doesn't, and you get more and more involved into your own problem and in your own relationship. But the value of astrology, you see, is that it doesn't tell you too much about what is going. It doesn't tell you, in fact, anything definitely about what is that realm above, that realm of stars. We don't know enough about the so-called fixed stars that you can build an astrology on it. Perhaps someday we will. And I probably think that we will, but we don't know much about the galaxy now, so we can hardly talk about it, except in very few instances and in a very general sense. But as a symbol, it can be a very powerful symbol of what you are aiming at and what can be achieved in the future. And that is, of course, the process of what in all occult idea or esoteric idea you call the path of transformation, the path of initiation, and so on. It is a process through which you pass, and it has three great stages, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. The stage of Uranus, which is the revolution, the breaking down of things, the breaking through the ego walls, Neptune, the dissolution, deconditioning, that is the thing that the youth movement has passed through so forcefully. And then, after that, you have the Pluto stage, which can be the stage of atomization or purification through catharsis, but which is also, Pluto is also the symbol of the cosmic mind, a mind which is based on principle and not on cogitation or intellectualization and so on, but based on very fundamental cosmic principle. Now, I must stop now, but you see, the question that you have to realize again, and I want to finish with that, is that deconditioning is very beautiful and extremely necessary, but there is a time come when you have not only to decondition and to break away from things and to try to flounder amidst the tremendous number of options, confusing options, which our modern society offer to all the young people, but that you have to also try to find out where you belong to in a higher sense. After having given up to, as it were, the belongingness to your family and culture, you have to find your higher kind of belongingness. And that means a definite, clear mind, so that you know the principle on which you can base yourself in order to commit yourself. Now, the word commitment is a word which many people frown upon because it takes away from their spontaneity and from their dear freedom and so on. But you cannot achieve anything unless you are committed. At least committed to search for a certain approach in a certain way. Not that you want to make a definite goal, I must reach that goal, illumination or enlightenment and all that. If you put such a goal definitely in your mind, that's the best way not to reach them. But you have to define a direction and a quality, you see. And one of the best ways that you can do that is to try to realize that all crises of transformation means karmic crisis through which you can metamorphose yourself and achieve, therefore, that life which is beyond, which is more than human, more than personal, which is for every human being a possibility if he or she is ready to take the necessary steps. And three of the great quality which is necessary for that is courage, force, which is probably the most important things in a spiritual life. Courage, not being nice, not being loving and all that, but courage. Courage to face the process of transformation, courage to face your crisis and to overcome them. Then persistence, because it's nice to be courageous in a big trouble, in a big war battlefield, you have got less of courage. But as Napoleon said once, victory belongs to the army who can stand 5 minutes more than the next time, the other enemy. You see, so persistence and steadiness. And that are really perhaps the most important thing that I would like to leave in your mind, is to try to realize that that courage, that persistence, that steadiness is necessary to reach that higher level of being and consciousness preaching which can be made easier through an understanding of astrology, provided that whoever help you to understand your chart, your transit, your progression is able to understand also that type of astrology and works with it in an intelligent, in a free and definite manner, unbound to the stereotypes of the past. So I can only wish you the very best in the realization of all your crises, so that you will meet them with great joy and great patience and great courage and joy. Thank you very much.
This is the end of The Value of Astrology in the Consciousness Movement, Part 2, by Dane Rudjar. The preceding audio is copyrighted by Leila Rudjar Hill and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudjar Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudjar at www.rudjarinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudjar, visit www.rudjaraudioarchives.com.